Good morning, Newport. It's good to be with you this morning. I feel so much like family, and I'd like to open with prayer using a prayer from Charles Albert Tinley in this text, Conversations with God. As we look at Black History Month, Charles Albert Tinley was a great pastor and a great songwriter. And here in 1924, he gives us this prayer entitled, "We Are Fully in Thy Sight." I will read an excerpt of this for our prayer this morning. Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we need not tell thee that we are here. We are fully in thy sight and are all known to thee. And so we come in this opening session, in this time, to gather at thy feet, to look in thy face, and to submit and commit ourselves in this day for the entire months to be. And so we ask thee to come not in the mornings only, but through every hour of the day of our entire being. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Lord, just don't be with us on Sunday morning, but through the entire week. And that is our prayer. True Greatness, part one, is our title for this message, true greatness. And greatness only comes with the presence of God. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 11 through 20, for our text, let us begin and read. Here, I will begin at verse 10, though. Be careful that you don't look down on one of these little ones. I say to you that their angels in heaven are always looking into the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If someone had 100 sheep and one of them wandered off, wouldn't he leave the 99 on the hillsides and go and search for the one that wandered off? If he finds it, I assure you that he is happier about having that one sheep than about the 99 who didn't wander off. In the same way, my Father who is in heaven doesn't want to lose one of these little ones. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and correct them. When you are alone together, if they listen to you, then you've won over your brother or your sister. But if they won't listen, take with you one or two others so that every word may be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. But if they still won't pay attention, report it to the church. If they won't pay attention even to the church, treat them as you would a Gentile and tax collector. I assure you that whatever you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, I assure you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, then my Father who is in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we look at this entire chapter, Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, really the theme is this idea of true greatness, true greatness. And when we look at the rest of the Gospels, we see Jesus evaluates this true greatness in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5, Mark 9, verses 33 through 37, Luke 9, verses 46 through 48, and in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, and then John 13, verse 20. For our time today, we're going to go back and look at this childlike faith that we must have to really be great in the kingdom. But I want to establish 3 points for our discussion this morning. Point A, attentiveness. We have to have an attentiveness towards the things of God. Point B, this idea of binding and loosing. And what does it look like in the Gospel of Matthew? And then point C, a childlike faith, a childlike manner to work in the kingdom of God. So when we look at the parable of the lost sheep, we see here in this gospel that Jesus is concerned about everyone. Jesus is concerned. And in Luke 18, verse 16, he says, pray and not lose heart. And notice later on in the passage that we read, in verse 1, he brings up prayer. So prayer is connected to this idea of true greatness. But in order to really pray like we ought, we must have an attentiveness to the things of God, attentiveness to the kingdom. Now, how did Jesus begin to address this issue? You know, when I'm reading the text, I'm asking questions. I'm asking a lot of questions. So how do we get to the parable of the lost sheep? Well, Jesus was really addressing a question that the disciples had way in verse 1. But we're going to get back to that. But we got to pay attention to who's in the fold and who's lost. So paying attention, when we were children, we were told to pay attention. And it's one of the simplest things we can do in the world, perhaps. But in fact, attentiveness is one of the most difficult concepts to embrace. And here, Jesus is saying, right here in verse 11, be careful. Or some versions say, see. Or some versions say, awake and watch. Pay attention to what's going on around us. You want to really, truly be great? Pay attention to the tenor of the times. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to those people that are left in the margins, to the little ones. Paying attention. We'll come back to that in a minute. Let's move on to our second theme, binding and loosing. Jesus gets it right here. Jesus binds the law prohibiting murder as applicable to anger and insults. And in Matthew 5:27, he similarly binds the law prohibiting adultery as applicable to lust. He says the apparent reason is that the heart is at the center, is at the intentions of what we're about. Now hold on to that a minute. The heart is at the center and the attentiveness of what we're about. Human sin is deep within our hearts. We don't realize it. We have to pray, God, what is motivating our idea of even being great? Does it come from a sinful place? Earlier in Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8, Jesus loosens this prohibition against performing work on the Sabbath with regard to plucking grain to satisfy one's hunger. And in Matthew 12, verses 9 through 13, Jesus loosens the prohibition against performing work on the Sabbath regarding performing works of healing. He declares, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Matthew 12, 12. And he says that those who do not recognize this condemn the guiltless in Matthew 12, 7. So Jesus gets the binding and the loosing right. So this idea of true greatness is connected to our paying attention to what's happening in culture. Where are the hungry? Where are the disenfranchised? True greatness is connected to how we deal with the laws that we interpret in Scripture. Are they binding up God's love with others? Are they loosening God's love to others? Are they empowering people? Are they taking from people? Are they creating oppression and enslavement? So really, to be truly great, one, we have to pay attention to what's going on in culture. A, there's got to be attentiveness. B, we have to pay attention to the binding and the loosening. What we are doing in our congregations, are we creating opportunities for the kingdom to come to fruition? Are we creating opportunities for God's greatness to live alive through people? In everything we do to others, as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, 12. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners. Matthew 9, 13. Remember, folks, the greatest commentary on Scripture is Scripture. So if we concentrate and connect and bind the Scripture in our hearts and ask God to loose His Holy Spirit to us so that we can have clear interpretations of how we deal with Scripture. And then in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Truly great. Do we really want to be truly great? One, we have to pay attention. There's got to be an attentiveness to what God is doing in the world. B, we have to practice a binding and loosing of Scripture and looking at the freedom that God gives us, because he says, whatever you do, one or two of you do in my name, I will make it happen in heaven. Connecting Scripture. And so the binding and loosening and paying attention, this is absolutely connected to the sinning brother and the sinning sister. And it's connected to the lost sheep. People are lost. And sometimes we ourselves can get off track and are lost. My son, my child, my son, he wanted to go get a haircut. So my son and I, we decided we're going to go, and I was going to let him drive. He was going to drive. So we now live in Bremerton. We took the ferry. I let him drive. He got on the ferry. And when he got off the ferry, I didn't want to necessarily say, son, this is what you need to do. I was going to wait for him to ask me. And he did. He asked me, said, Dad, can you help me with directions to get to the barbershop? And I said, yes, son, great. So we're getting off the ferry, and then we're heading over to I-90. We get on I-90, and we're about to get on it. And then he's in the wrong lane, and he says, oh, Dad, I missed it. So we had to go on I-5. I-5, there was a traffic jam. Hopefully, we'll get to the barbershop on time because we've got our appointments. Then we get in that traffic jam, but then we make it through the 520, but we got to pay tolls. Go over the 520 bridge, and then we head over to the bridge. We finally get over there. Then we get to 405, and we're able to get to our destination. My son drove us there. We got there. We didn't necessarily get there in a way that I would have wanted him, because we had to pay a toll. It took more time. We got caught in the traffic jam. The greater road would have been able to take I-90. So here's the deal, folks. The disciples are talking about true greatness in all of these lessons in the Gospel of Matthew, particularly in chapter 18, is this road that Jesus is trying to lay out for the disciples. He doesn't want them to have to go over bridges that they got to pay extra tolls. He doesn't want them to get caught up in this bottleneck of unforgiveness. He wants them to pay attention. If my son would have paid attention, he would have been able to get to the barbershop sooner. But I had to practice abiding and loosing. I said, okay, I'm gonna loosen up this rule. I'm not going to say, all right, turn all the way around and get on I-9. No, I had to loosen up the rule. And I said, okay, there's another route. There's another way to go after this. Church, there's got to be ways that we go after lost sheep. Church, there's got to be ways we go after brothers and sisters that we believe that are caught in sin. There's got to be other routes. And that represents greatness. We have to loosen our own ideas of the law. God has given us freedom in denominations, but God has not given us freedom to go against the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is challenging us in our attentiveness and challenging us in in our hermeneutics, how we interpret the law, how we interpret scriptures, how we apply scriptures. God has given us a freedom with this binding and loosing. Whatever you do in my name, if your heart is right, if your intention is good, God is going to bless us. God is going to take us to another level and see, finally, the childlike manner, which we have to go all the way back to verse 1. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in heaven? And Jesus is saying, wait a minute. Who's going to be the greatest? You're asking the wrong question. First of all, you got to be like a child. You have to have a childlike faith, a childlike manner. When we look at scripture and we look at the teachings of Jesus, the key to really interpreting Matthew is that recognizing that all scripture is fulfilled in the life and teachings of Jesus. So Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. So God wants us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. God wants to live out a greatness, to live out the kingdom. Luke 18:17. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter. You can't get in this route. You can't get over the bridge. You can't get through the tolls. You can't get on I-90. You can't get on 520. You can't get on 405. We can't get to our destination unless if we're like a child being able to listen, saying, Lord, I don't have it all figured out. Will you show me the way? Will you show me the route? Putting on true greatness. Colossians 3:12 is very clear when it spells this out. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That's true greatness. In Philippians 4, 1 through 9, we see that true greatness, Paul is saying, hey, agree in the Lord. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. We should never let our rules rule us, but we should let God's Spirit teach us the precepts and the passions of Jesus so that we can live out a true greatness. True greatness just doesn't happen one day a week. As in Charles Tinley's prayer, it's not about just one day, Lord. Let it be every day. Let it be 24/7. Lord, we want to live out a true greatness. What is God saying to our church report? As we look at our roles, sending brother or sister, if someone is off, we have to go to them. We have to go after the lost sheep. There is accountability, there is forgiveness, and there is relationship. The greatest thing in the kingdom is this concept of true greatness that only can be taught as we follow Jesus Christ. The Christological key is to when we're looking at the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus didn't come to abolish all these laws, but he came to fulfill it. A, attentiveness. B, binding and loosing. C, a childlike manner in the kingdom. We have to be attentive to what God is doing. We have to be attentive to our laws and how we interpret scripture in our denominations and in our gatherings. Are we willing to let the Holy Spirit bind what's supposed to be bound up and to loose whatever's supposed to be loosened up? We got to loosen up some things because we have to go after the lost sheep. We have to go after sisters and brothers who are being challenged and who are struggling. There's got to be accountability. There's got to be forgiveness. And there's got to be the relationship. All of those things point to true greatness. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, you are concerned about the little ones, the ones that are on the edge, on the margins. And Lord, there are little ones that are very rich and wealthy that are enslaved to their riches. Lord, you are calling us to pay attention, A, to see and to watch, to be alert and to be awake. And Lord, you are calling us to look at scripture and to practice a binding and loosening and with prayer and the power and the auspices of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you will make us like children. And Father, your child Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus modeled for us a greatness on the cross. Lord, you call us to carry our cross and to follow you. Lord, there's forgiveness, there's accountability, and there's relationship. Lord, let us be like a child in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, let us lovingly be in relationship so we can hold each other accountable and forgive one another. Go after those that are on the margins, that are lost, and Lord, that are off base, that are sinning. We all sin. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And you care about all of us, Lord, and you're going to go after that one, Lord, that has lost his way. Lord, bring us on track, build us up through the power of your resurrection, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak. Give us compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, so that we can practice a greatness in your kingdom and you would get all the glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Newport Covenant, God bless you. See you next week.